40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President Biden made an unannounced visit to Ukraine early this morning, where he met with the nation's leader, Volodymyr Zelensky, ahead of Friday's anniversary of Russia's invasion.
Freedom is priceless. It's worth fighting for as long as it takes. And that's how long we're going to be with you, Mr. President, for as long as it takes.
Correspondent Charlie Daggett was in the room in Kyiv where the two men met.
It's a huge message to the people of Ukraine, as President Zelensky said, to have an active U.S. president coming to an active and dynamic conflict zone during this critical time, at a time where they're marking the year anniversary since the invasion, where things are still happening here.
I'm Stephen Portnoy in Warsaw. The president's trip to Ukraine was in the planning for months, and it was a closely held secret. Only two journalists were allowed to accompany President Biden as he flew out of Washington before dawn yesterday. The White House says the Russians were notified in advance that the president would be traveling to Kyiv. Here in Warsaw, Mr. Biden is expected to meet with more Eastern European leaders and give a speech about America's enduring commitment to the Ukrainian effort.
North Korea has fired two short-range ballistic missiles in its second weapons test in 3 days. Today's were aimed at Japan and fell into the sea. Kim Jong-un is promising to turn the Pacific into a firing range if the U.S. doesn't call off joint military drills with South Korea. Professor Daniel Pinkston is an expert on North Korea.
There would be a number of steps and indicators that would be observable if the peninsula were moving to conflict. So I think this is just basically a lot of hot air at this point.
The end is near for this country's 39th president. 98-year-old Jimmy Carter remains in hospice care at his home in Plains, Georgia, where locals are paying tribute.
Great man, great president, probably underappreciated by those who don't know much about him.
His family says Mr. Carter chose to spend his final days at home instead of in the hospital. Students and professors are returning to classes at Michigan State University 1 week to the day after a gunman opened fire in two campus buildings, killing three students and critically wounding five others. Some say it's too soon.
I just don't know how you could be on campus and, be okay with going to class.
A petition demanding hybrid or online options has gotten tens of thousands of signatures, but school officials say coming back together will help the MSU community heal. Three of the wounded students remain in critical condition. Police say the suspect, who shot and killed himself, had no apparent ties to the university. This is CBS News.
Find tools for the job site or your own backyard at over 10,000 authorized local Steel dealers. Find yours at steelusa.com. STI.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. The Wisconsin-based cleaning company charged with employing children to clean meat processing plants in 13 facilities across 8 states has been fined $1.5 million. Packer Sanitation Services is based in Keeler. They hired kids between 13 and 17 to do hazardous jobs cleaning equipment at those plants. The company convicted of using intimidation tactics to stop the minors from asking for help. The investigation found children working with hazardous chemicals and cleaning dangerous equipment. You should have plenty of time to cast your ballot in tomorrow's primary election before wintry weather starts moving across the state. Two candidates will move on to the general election on April 4th, and that contest determines if the court remains conservative or turns liberal for the next 2 years. Snow is expected to begin Tuesday night into Wednesday, along with a mixture of rain and freezing rain. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local Civic Media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Hey, Joe.
What do you got for us today?
In reference to Lindsey Graham, I was amazed at his comments where he said if Trump is indicted, there will be riots in the streets. Lindsey Graham was a JAG officer, and in order to be a JAG officer, you have to pass the bar. Was a JAG
officer. I'm sorry, he's a JAG officer? I didn't quite understand that.
Yeah, to see a lawyer head for the rat hole instead of acting like a person with a backbone. Wow, what a profile in courage, huh?
Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.,
this is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUK Radio.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? Todd Alba did decide to text us who's fun to get a drink with in the GOP.
Fantastic.
Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Happy Monday, February 20th, the day before the spring primary election. We are here, despite it being a holiday for some. We are here, we are live, and we are happy to be here. Jane Matinair, how are you doing?
I am fantastic. I just want to thank again Todd Alba for checking in with us last week. And I laugh so much in this job. It just makes me happy.
We really do laugh a lot here.
We do.
Despite
the
ticked off tee off, that we will have that again today. But we really find irreverence in a lot of this stuff, and we hope you do as well.
Absolutely.
Sometimes if you, you got to laugh so you don't cry.
In a nutshell, yes.
And we try to really revel and roll around in that as much as possible on this show, As Goes Wisconsin. So we are happy you are here this morning with us, and we got a great Monday for you. So we do news this hour, including, as you probably have heard, a certain sanitation company, the 1910s called and want their child labor laws back. Or their child labor back.
The good old days.
But I think at the bottom of this hour, we'll rehash some of the details of that case. And they're not alone, because the Department of Labor has actually said that there has been an increasing amount of child labor law violations. And I think it brings up an interesting question around the conditions that children are in and the poverty that they're in, that they need to have these jobs. And that we're still here, and that there is this idea of, you know, freedom to work, which is true.
Yeah.
And this argument that some conservatives have as far as our child labor laws being too strict and in a short labor market, all of that, but also like in dangerous jobs like these, in third shift jobs like these, what are the conditions of the livelihoods of these young people? That they are not free from poverty, so their only freedom is the choice to work in these kinds of jobs. So we're going to spend some time about that. And then the All-Star Game was this weekend.
That's right.
But more exciting is the All-Star Game may be here in a couple years.
That would be awesome.
Bucks put in to potentially in 2025 or 2026 host it here. And so we'll compare potential economic impact of that versus the RNC at the bottom of the hour. But to start off, pot, meat kettle. So, you know, we love talking about Dan Bice's articles, our own muckraker. And this election cycle so far for the Wisconsin Supreme Court primary race, which is tomorrow.
Yes, you must go vote.
Along with all of the other, if you have a primary in any of the races down ballot from that, whether it's if you live in Senate District 8, you have a primary. If you're voting for Republicans, that is also tomorrow. But mayoral races, if there's basically any race where there's more than two candidates, there is a primary race on your ballot for tomorrow. So if you voted early, congratulations. If you voted absentee, you can check on myvote.wi.gov to make sure that they have received your absentee ballot. You can track it on there. And if you haven't, if you're like me, go vote tomorrow. Are you voting tomorrow?
I am.
All right. We're voting in person tomorrow.
Yes.
So this is, this has been a interesting race, to say the least, already, largely because of the infighting that's been happening between the two conservative candidates, Dan Kelly and Jennifer Doerr.
Disarray.
Which doesn't mean that it hasn't been across the aisle bombs thrown at each other. Most of which, I would say, is Dan Kelly being very critical of Janet Protasiewicz on how partisan she is, and saying that she, her kind of coming out and saying, and I would say it's unusual in the way that she's talking about her values versus just talking about case law. But again, we're in this weird scenario where we elect justices and not all of us understand case law. And so she is saying where she stands on abortion rights, where she stands on redistricting. And Dan Kelly has been very vocal about how partisan he finds her.
Putting her thumb on the scales, I believe, is something he has said.
He tweeted earlier this month, the media and her allies, because of course the media is on her side, the media and her allies can deny it and run cover for her all day long. But when Janet for Justice tells you that she'll put her thumb on the scales of justice, believe her. But my question is, was it Protasiewicz that's been paid nearly $120,000 by the Democratic Party of Wisconsin?
I don't believe so.
Oh, no, that was Dan Kelly, who's been paid $120,000 by the Republican Party of Wisconsin.
And this is recently.
This is up, as recently as December of 2022.
Oh.
So, if you missed it, Friday afternoon, it was an interesting time to drop this because, people are typically starting to do weekend stuff,
right,
starting to check out. But Dan Bice in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel dropped an article on Dan Kelly that not only was he getting consulting fees from the Republican Party, he was involved in consulting Andrew Hitt during the 2020 decision to have fake electors via Trump's non-election.
So, I understand this correctly. Dan Kelly was paid by a Republican operative to help them overturn the presidential election?
Well, it sounds like he was doing a lot more than just that. But in his role, because, he lost in 2020.
Pretty handily, by the way.
Pretty handedly. And guy's got to make a living somehow.
Sure. Yeah.
And
bills to pay.
And so he was legal counsel, giving legal advice to the Republican Party. And part of his role was that he was at the center of the discussion in December 2020 with top Wisconsin Republicans over the highly, highly controversial plan to covertly convene a group of Republicans inside the state capitol in the weeks following Donald Trump's loss to Joe Biden. Yeah. And so we know this because at the time, state Republican Party Chairman Andrew Hitt, He's been in depositions. We know earlier this year we saw some of his text messages and him referencing Rojo being like, he's like, Rojo wants us to lie about this. And the other guy was like, what is he? What's happening? But in a deposition last year, Andrew Hitt said that he and Kelly had, quote, pretty extensive conversations about the fake elector scheme. Kelly was serving as the party's special counsel at the time. And he said, and this is Andrew Hitt said, I had brought him on in Wisconsin to kind of help with, he's from Wisconsin. I brought him on to kind of advise on election law matters. And, but yeah, so he, and that, so that was back in 2020. But records show that Kelly has been taking checks from the Republican Party as recently as December, which was after he's already announced his candidacy for this go-around of the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race. And not only that, but also back in 2020, he ran his losing bid for the state Supreme Court from the GOP headquarters in Madison. And so it's...
Isn't that a conflict of interest? Is that legal?
I think it's...
It must be.
It must be legal, but as far as it... Is it ethical? Is it hypocrisy to be like... To be talking nonstop about Janet Protasiewicz and how partisan she is and not look in the mirror as far as you are actively working with the Republican Party as of 2 months ago. And so I just find it very funny that this guy can't look in the mirror. I mean, of course, and I know that this is, it's nonpartisan only in name, right?
Very much so.
Very much so. We understand that as soon as tomorrow's primary is over, the votes are counted between, I mean, and who knows? I mean, something crazy could happen and both Janet Protasiewicz and Everett Mitchell could get through, or in, you know, both Doro and Kelly could get through. So, like, it is not a partisan primary. And so there is wild scenarios where it's not one liberal and one conservative judge going on to the general after tomorrow. Most likely that is going to be what we're going to see. And I think my prediction is that Janet will be in the lead. Janet will get the most votes. I have no prediction between who's going to win between Doro and
really
Kelly. And unfortunately, I think because Everett Mitchell just raised such a small amount of money compared to everyone else.
Yes.
And I think it says nothing about who he is as a candidate. And granted, we didn't get, unlike some of the other civic media shows who've had the chance to talk to some of the candidates, I haven't talked to any of them yet. Hopefully after we get into the general, we'll invite the two that get through
right
to come on the show. But I think, you know, some of this isn't always like the best candidate. Some of it is who raises the most money, who has the best organized campaign. But I think Janet will get through, and it will be interesting to see between these two who get through. But I just can't wrap my head around the fact that he can, with a straight face, he being Dan Kelly, talk about how partisan Protasiewicz is while he was taking money and literally working for the Republican Party while he's running for Wisconsin State Supreme Court. Not only just this time, but then he was running his campaign out of the GOP headquarters in 2020. So let me know. Do you think this is defensible? 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Teach them pull some big meat strips. You son of a gun. Come November election time. You vote your way and I vote mine. Case is a tie and the money gets spent. Vote for Pig Meat, not for president. I am the judge. I am the judge.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies this afternoon with a high of 41. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 21. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 31. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow night through Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
I think you've lost your mind. I can't believe I came home to find my car keyed. Honestly, I'm way too tired to find.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. You are welcome to answer the question, Dan Kelly, big fat kettle, because he's calling Janet Protasiewicz so partisan that she should not be eligible to sit on the court, while simultaneously he was cashing checks,
yes,
from the Republican Party up until 2 months ago.
It's fine, Kristen. That's fine.
And so while that is, you know, because we all know, yes, this is nonpartisan in name only, the stakes of who wins this race in April, the reminder to vote in the primary that is tomorrow.
The general's April 4th.
The general's April 4th. But the outcome of that could quite literally change the face of Wisconsin.
Absolutely. It's huge.
Like in certain ways. And I'm trying to wrap my head around this, and you can correct me if you think, if you disagree. But I think in a lot of ways, there is way more, the way I see this, there is way more for conservatives to lose. Because if a conservative wins, I feel like it's just going to be more of the same of what we've been living in since the redistricting map, since the stronghold on the legislature, since the court's been majority conservative. And so it versus if one of the liberal judges wins in the general, like this could be like if a redistricting case gets to the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Yes.
Because remember, federal courts, the U.S. Supreme Court has said, not our circus, not our monkeys when it comes to redistricting and having those cases raised to their levels. And so if a redistricting case rises to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, there is a chance that we could overturn the redistricting maps we currently have before 2031, 2032, basically, as far as by the time we get the census, the 2030 census information back, do the redistricting process, and have the new maps, which could solve so many things. As far as actually having a representative government in Madison.
And I think, Kristen, that is really the biggest thing. If Wisconsinites are satisfied with representatives who don't have to respond to what they want, like medical marijuana, like universal background checks, like red flag laws, like a woman's right to choose, if you are perfectly fine with your representatives getting paid handsomely for a part-time job, yet they never have to respond to your phone calls, your emails, your text messages. They can just do with it whatever they want, and they have been because they know better than you. if you want more of that, then vote accordingly.
Yeah. And that really is, for me, what I know there's other, you know, this is also, if you think back to 2020, it was the Wisconsin Supreme Court that decided the outcome of the election.
Yes. And if it had not been for Brian Hagedorn,
things could have been different. And there is a chance that we're still going to be a swing state. 2024 is still going to be as much of a battle for the president, no matter who the Republican candidate ends up being. I guess technically, no matter who the Democratic candidate ends up being,
right?
Whether it's Joe Biden, I think it's going to be Joe Biden. But that this, whoever wins that seat, likely will once again be the deciding vote on that.
Yep.
And so there are tons of cases that matter. But as far as me, what I consider, like, oh, Wisconsin could fundamentally change from where we've been for the last 12 years sooner than 10 years from now, basically. And that to me is worth a lot.
Again, think about representative government, which we're supposed to have. And yet, if you're an elected official in a severely gerrymandered district, you don't really have to care about your constituents. You can do what you know is better for them because you know better.
And that goes both ways, right? I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I had someone comment on, I love when I get this comment, and this is probably the video I'm going to make when I get home today. Well, you know, Democrats basically just gerrymander themselves into Milwaukee and Dane County. And if you look at the numbers from the November election and the 1.3 million and some change people across the state who voted for Governor Evers, around 230 some thousand were in Dane County. I think another like 250 some thousand were in Milwaukee County.
Oh, that leaves many hundreds of thousands of people.
Over 800,000. That live in the other 70 counties in Wisconsin.
Huh.
And so there is indeed, I know sometimes it probably doesn't feel like it, but there are indeed Democrats who vote for Democratic statewide candidates across the state. And if they don't all just live in Madison and Milwaukee, and they also deserve to have representative government, both in their congressmen and in Madison. So
I would agree with you.
Yeah.
I think not everyone would agree with you.
No, the guy who left that comment doesn't agree with me. And that's literally how I'm going to start the video. It's like, do you like math? Let's do some math.
Let's math.
All right. When we come back, let's talk about child labor laws and why we have them. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Got no problem with saying goodbye. Is it wrong that I'm going to be having the time?
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
CBS News Brief. President Biden made a surprise stop in Ukraine this morning to meet with President Zelensky and pledge continued U.S. support ahead of Friday's one-year anniversary of Russia's invasion.
This week, we're delivering billions in direct budgetary support. Billions in direct budgetary support, which the government can put to use immediately.
The people of Plains, Georgia are praying for former President Jimmy Carter, who's spending his final days at home in hospice care.
Down to earth, country boy just like me. He'll tell you the truth about anything.
Mr. Carter is 98 years old. North Korea has fired its second weapons test in 3 days. This time, Kim Jong-un aimed 2 short-range ballistic missiles at Japan. They landed in the sea. Korea expert Ralph Kossa.
What they're trying to do is pressure us into stopping our exercises. They're very upset. You know, they thought they had a deal with President Trump, but no more military exercises.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A memorial service is in the works for former University of Wisconsin-Madison Chancellor Rebecca Blank. During her time at the UW, she created full-ride scholarships for low-income students from Wisconsin and led the effort to enroll more out-of-state students. She died Friday from pancreatic cancer. Blank was 67. Republican lawmakers plan to craft their own state budget rather than work off the one Governor Evers proposed last week. They concede they'll have to increase spending, but will try to keep it lower than what the governor's proposing.
24% seems like a pretty excessive amount of spending. My guess is that in the end, we're not going to end up anywhere close to a 24% increase in spending.
That's Senator Howard Markline of Spring Green. He was on WISN-TV's Upfront program Sunday. In sports, Giannis Antetokounmpo is in New York to get his injured right wrist looked at. He hurt it last Thursday night. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. We welcome you to join the conversation, 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. And thank you for wherever you are listening this morning. Well, sometimes we always love it when Wisconsin in the wild is on something that's good.
Yes, something to celebrate.
Something to celebrate, something that's fun, like Giannis being the captain of the All-Star game,
right,
which we are going to talk about in the next segment. We don't like it when Wisconsin makes the news for breaking child labor laws.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good.
No.
This is not good. So we've been running this on the newscast, but in case you've missed it, a Wisconsin-based food sanitation company was forced to pay $1.5 million in financial penalties for illegally employing more than 100 children across 8 different states. So at least 100, and this is only the ones they could prove.
Right. So who knows how many others?
Yes. At least 102 minors between the ages of 13 and 17 worked for Grant County. This is where the company is headquartered, mm-hmm. but they have operations across 8 states, mostly in the Midwest, I think, with a couple in the South. Packers Sanitation Services, Inc., so PSSI is for short, and it's one of the country's biggest food safety sanitation companies. So they do a lot of sanitation for other big meatpacking companies.
Right.
So this was an investigation from the U.S. Department of Labor Wage and Hour Division, and this broke on Friday, and a department, there was a media briefing, and people from the Department of Labor said that the children were working overnight shifts using hazardous chemicals to clean saws and other high-risk equipment at 13 different meat processing facilities in 8 different states. At least 3 were injured while they were working, including a 13-year-old who suffered from chemical burns.
Oh, my. Now, for people who have never worked third shift, and I have worked third shift.
I have not worked third shift, so I will default to you.
It's at least my shift was 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. or 10 p.m. to 6 a.m.
And, well, we'll get into the more of the details, but this is... When I was reading further about this, this is far from the only company that is violating child labor laws. Since 2018, the Department of Labor has seen a 50% increase in child labor violations nationally.
50%?
50%. So a spokesperson from the Department of Labor, Jessica Luman, said that those violations can vary from children working more hours than allowed under law, using specific types of prohibited equipment, or working in industries that they shouldn't be. And, you know, I feel like this brings up, because was it just last year or was it 2 years ago that the Wisconsin State Legislature was trying to change the amount of hours that teenagers could work?
That's recent.
That's recent. I think it was either the end of 2021. I think it was early 2022, because I remember it happening before we started this show. And in some ways I understand the argument. I understand the argument of, you know, a character building job as a teenager. And I understand the argument of the labor shortage and encouraging more people to try to work to fill some of these roles. But these are very different than, like, working at Cold Stone.
Cold Stone Creamery.
Cold Stone Creamery. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like, of, you know, my friends in high school in Madison, like, most of them either worked at Quiznos Subs after school, or I think there was a lot of them that worked at Bagels Forever, which also leads to another thing, because the grade that was 2 years ahead of us, their senior prank was that they bageled the front lawn of the school. Because there were so many kids who worked at Bagels Forever. They throw out the bagels every day. So they were collecting garbage bags of bagels until the senior prank, and they bageled the front lawn. Anyways, that's
And by the way, that was from 2021.
It was 2021.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And, you know, so like those are normal after school jobs.
I worked at A&W. Yeah, when I was 15.
And if you want to argue that those are the types of jobs, and if people under 18 have the ability to work more than 20 hours a week and go to school, fine. They should have the freedom to do that. Working the third shift as a 13-year-old and the exploitation that comes with that, because what kind of living situation are these children under that this is their option? That their only option to help their families, it's probably not go to school.
Yes. And to work.
And work a dangerous job overnight. And we're clearly not okay with that. They just had to pay a fine. But I also couldn't help but think a week ago when we were talking to John Russell and we're talking about Norfolk and the other train companies. And then in the same day, We had the conversation with Carrie Spivak and Daphne Chen about the landlords and these companies that they just bake this into their budget, that it is probably worth it to them to continue to try to get away with hiring children and just pay the fine once they get caught than to follow the law and not hire children to work third shift dangerous jobs.
We have Ellen from Milwaukee on the line at 844-967-2789. What do you want to say, sir?
No, I had a couple of things to say about your discussion. First of all, it's against the law, the children, child labor laws from way back in the 1950s changed all of that to where they could not hire children. And if they did, after they have permission from the parents, they had to be 14 or older, and they couldn't work more than 20 hours a week.
Yeah.
That's the law.
No, that is the law, and that's why they have a fine. But my point is, in the same way that we're talking about Norfolk and all these other industries where they just, these companies basically can bake into their budget to pay the fine but continue to break the law.
But the deal is, are these children going to school? If they're not in school, that's against the law.
I saw less about reports about who the kids are. I'm sure there's probably limitations on how much reporting they can do because they're minors.
Sure.
But I would imagine that probably not. They're probably not going to
third
school.
Shift. Hello?
Yes. We're still here.
You said they were working third shift?
Some of them, yeah. They were working overnight.
Well, they're not in school.
Yeah.
Or, it's against the law for them to not be in school until they're 18 years of age or until they graduate or unless they're emancipated at age 16 from their parents, where their parents are no longer responsible for them.
But we don't know.
There's a whole lot of laws that are being, from what you're saying, are being broken.
Yeah. No, I mean, we know that there's the laws are being broken. But I'm saying the consequences for this company right now is a fine instead of anything more serious than that. And seemingly, it's not really that much of a slap on the wrist.
Well, again, they pay a fine. Thank you for calling, Al. By the way, 844-967-2789, if you want to check in with us on As Goes Wisconsin. Yeah, it's wrong. It's illegal. And we also don't know if the kids worked until 6 o'clock in the morning and then went right to school.
No.
We don't.
And I mean, it opens up the presumption of the demographics of who these kids presumably are. I wouldn't be surprised if there was more reporting that's done on this to find out a lot of them are undocumented, that their parents are also undocumented.
Right.
And it's just trying to scrape by, that they're just trying to get money. And it's just another situation where it's an easily exploitable population. And in the face of this one example, which is a Wisconsin company, but also, as I said, the fact that since 2018, there's been a 50% increase in child labor violations nationally, maybe the ramifications for breaking those laws should be a little more aggressive. Maybe they should deter companies a little bit more than they are if there's this increase. And the fact of the matter is, well, we'll just pay the fine. It's fine.
Well, and that's really disturbing.
Right?
That they bake in these fines with the assumption that eventually they are going to get busted. So they pay the fine and they keep doing it anyway.
Because as we said, this is only the ones that they know of.
Right.
And
well, and we're not going to solve the labor shortage by turning to 13 and 14-year-olds, right?
No. And so I would love to hear from someone who, because I know that there are conservatives who complain that child labor laws in Wisconsin or nationally are too strict. And, you know, they want 16-year-olds to be able to work more than 20 hours a week. You know, and they want, you know, this just this idea of having that
freedom.
Yeah, I guess. And it, truthfully, it's like the freedom to work, right? And it is on the other side. If you want, if you are a young person who is entrepreneurial and you want to work that much, I understand the argument of that you should be able to. But it's also the fact that what jobs are we talking about? What shifts are we talking about? And as Alan said on the phone, legally, they're supposed to be in school. So if they're skipping school to be able to put food on the table for their families, we have a bigger problem here as far as who we're allowing to just live in poverty, which, speaking of that, at 12:30 today, Sherry Tussler, who's the executive director of Hunger Task Force, is going to join us because on March 1st, so that's next Wednesday, the extended extra food share benefits that was going to around 400,000 Wisconsin families.
Wow.
I mean, it was a national program. This is a federal program that during the pandemic, they had extra money coming in every month. They voted in December for that to end March 1st. And between increased food insecurity and inflation and rising costs of utilities, of rents, of all these other things, food banks across the state are very worried about how they're going to keep up with demand because this is basically the worst time that this could be happening. And so Sherry's going to join us to talk more about what she sees coming down the pipe with this in the work that Hunger Task Force does, because 400,000 families in Wisconsin suffer from food insecurity.
And a lot of these are children and senior citizens.
Yes. And so it just goes back to like, what are we okay? Like what conditions are we okay people with people living in? Because these kids only take these jobs out of necessity. It's not like they're like, yes, let me go work in a sand. This is going to teach me job skills, transferable job skills for me to get into college. Let's go clean some saws with chemicals that can burn me. Like this is obviously out of necessity of these are the jobs that we can get.
Yep.
And we need to get because our family needs it.
And there are apparently companies who will turn the other way when someone comes in and makes an application and they look like they're 13.
Because there's no way you can tell me. It's one thing with a 17-year-old, like 60. Although I will say I've seen 16 and 17-year-old boys now and I'm like, are you 12?
I know.
Like they don't look like they're about to be adults.
Right.
But certainly 13-year-olds, especially 13-year-old boys, are not fooling anyone that they're above age. Unless he's huge. But that's far in between. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Talking about the Bucks when we come back.
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local Civic Media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
Ty Christian from Lords of the Trident. Can you say Max Inc. Radio rocks, Jimmy K is awesome in Japanese?
Sure. Let's see. How do I say rocks? Let me see. Sugoi! Max Inc. Radio wa sugoi datta omoimasu. I just said you're great, you know.
Thank you. You're great too.
Original local music from Wisconsin. It's Max Inc. Radio on Civic Media. Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight. We are local music.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 41. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Lows level off around 21. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 31. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow night through Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
You know, me and Cage, we're Lakers for life. But there's one player, don't matter what team he's on, he's incredible. Follow me for the changes. Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo. 1, 2, 3. Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo. MVP. Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo. Yes, it's true. Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo. We love you!
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. Do you think he listens to that? Do you think I like as he has his big Beats earphones on, Giannis maybe just has this on his like playlist to pump himself up? Just like listening to his own.
I'd love to know what his motivational playlist is. I think that would be fascinating.
For a lot of them. Yeah. I wonder how I would assume that it's a lot of rap and like something with a strong beat, but I would love to know who has the most unique pump up playlist.
There's got to be a show tunes fan in there somewhere. Come on.
Yeah. Or who listens to like classical music just to zen out?
Little as Mozart.
And the different what works for which athlete.
Yeah.
I would listen to that song every day though. That was like someone had made a fun. My last name is
Kristen
nowhere
Bry.
Near
Kristen Bry.
Yeah, it's nowhere near as fun as
we love her. It's Kristen Bry. Kristen Bry.
Well, last night was the All-Star game, and Team Giannis won. And so I guess they had some fun. I think it was different than it had been in the past, where him and LeBron took turns because LeBron was the other team captain, and they took turns picking. They had the starters set, if I'm understanding it correctly, but then they took turns like picking the rest of the team. And so Giannis, who has a injured wrist right now, I know they're going to get that checked out. But he was out there with his notebook and looking very official. He had planned a lot. I guess he had this whole strategy with Drew Holiday because he ended up not picking Drew first and he threw LeBron off, and it was a big,
ooh,
it was very fun.
Psychological games.
Yes, exactly. And so, but then they pulled it out. It was so funny because we didn't end up watching the All-Star game. We watched The Last of Us because it's appointment.
You're into it.
Appointment viewing. But we checked, and at halftime, the score was like 98-92. So it was just like, no one's playing defense.
Rack them up. Let them score.
But more exciting news, I think, because, you know, the All-Star game's just not a lot of consequence, really, for the season, but it's fun. There's lots of parties.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big, you know, both the all-stars of the NBA, but also a lot of celebrities, a lot of parties, a lot of hullabaloo in whatever host city has it. And maybe could be coming to Milwaukee in 2025 or 2026.
The All-Star Game.
The All-Star Game. So over the weekend, I think it was on Saturday, it was reported that the Bucks will submit a bid to host the NBA All-Star Game in either 2025 or 2026. And I think that makes sense. If you think about the infrastructure that had been started for the 2020 DNC that
yep.
did not happen, the infrastructure that is continuing for the 2024 RNC that I think I'm assuming is going to happen. I don't think we're going to get another global pandemic between now and then.
Let's hope not.
But, you know, the Wisconsin Convention Center is going to be done. The hotel that's next to the Fiserv looks like it's almost done. And so, you know, ideally having the setup that we could host an NBA All-Star weekend. And it's basically, arguably, if we were to do that, even a bigger economic impact than the expectations of the RNC.
Seriously.
So on Saturday evening, because this one was in Salt Lake City, which obviously they have the infrastructure. They've held, they've had the Olympics, right? Like, and I don't know what the pop, what is the pop, we look up the population of Salt Lake City, because I don't know how much bigger or similarly sized population wise it is to Milwaukee. But on Saturday evening,
200,478.
So it's like half the size of Milwaukee. But they've just been, they've built
that infrastructure
there to be able to host a lot of people. Because listen to this. This is the stats from this weekend. So NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, in his opening remarks at a press conference, said, quote, "In terms of the magnitude of All-Star, this is our largest in our history. They're estimating the economic impact here in Salt Lake City will be roughly $280 million.
Wow.
For a weekend.
Up for 3 days.
For 3 days. That's an all-time record. We have an all-time record in terms of hotel nights. We're occupying 33,000 hotels or hotel nights in the community here, and we have more fan events than any time in history." And so I'm pretty sure that the estimates for the RNC, which even those have been squishy.
Well, they're guesstimates.
They're guesstimates. And it's also who's it economically impacting and everything. But so I don't know. There's probably the same argument that that number is squishy for how many people actually end up seeing that trickles down to for the local economy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure that the estimates that were used by Visit Milwaukee and for the people who were really trying to sell this to the people of Milwaukee of why we should want the RNC to come was $200 billion. And so if this is serious, $280 million for a weekend, then I'm just going to say it, call me biased, it's probably way more fun than the RNC. There's way more parties I want to go to for an All-Star weekend, an NBA All-Star weekend in Milwaukee than RNC parties I want to go to.
I don't know. I think there's a whole bunch of Republicans I would like to have drinks with.
Well, we already know that maybe not Robin Voss.
That just puts him higher on my list, Kristen.
I'm so curious to flash forward a year from now and if civic media and our show, if there's anything that we could potentially get invited to as press, because it's just like, you know, obviously you guys lean left, but this is a big deal. And see if there's any doors or part that get opened or parties we get into to just be witness to the RNC.
I would think they would love having, you know, the opposition there so they can keep us all in a pen and direct all the rage of the attendees towards us. That just seems like a given. So,
yeah. So anyways, I'm in favor of this. I think it would be very fun. I would go to many parties if invited.
To the All-Star game.
The All-Star game. For the NBA All-Star game, if we were to get that in a couple years. Because the last time Milwaukee hosted an All-Star game was 1977.
Oh, my.
And I have to imagine it looked a little different.
Just even the length of the shorts.
That was a lot shorter. A lot
How
shorter.
Much,
a lot
yeah,
of leg.
That was a lot
the
of leg.
The 1970s basketball had a lot of leg. All right. Well, that does it for the 11 o'clock hour. When we come back, Representative Christina Shelton is back because her and Representative, well, we'll talk about it. She's going to be here next. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Auntie
DeCooper, Auntie DeCooper, Auntie DeCooper, 1, 2, 3. Auntie DeCooper, Auntie DeCooper, Auntie DeCooper, MVP. Auntie DeCooper, Auntie DeCooper, Auntie DeCooper.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized...
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.